Hello and welcome to Military Illumination. I'm your host Gary, and this podcast is all about learning about the things that the military recruiters or the government don't want you to know about military service. We cover things like recruiting practices, lifestyles, pitfalls, and other things a person would need or should know before either advising someone to join the military, supporting them in their military journey, or even enlisting in the military. There's very few things that a person needs to know about the military because it's pretty much in the advertising where you can see. But there are four truths the military recruiters do not want you to know. I believe that they don't want you to know because most people that I've talked with and I share these with them, mostly teenagers in high school, most of them said, I'm going to say 90%, 98% of them said, they would, you know, military was no longer an option. Because in these four truths, basically what they do is it takes away your individuality and your freedoms and makes you basically a product of the system, a robot, a person without any rights. So you basically take a civilian person with a boatload of rights, with the strength of the Constitution and laws and systems in place that protects you. When a person joins the military, they're stripped of those things, but they're not told directly. It's only indirectly, and it's implied. And it's implied a lot of times is when you know when they say, "Oh, you'll give up your life to the military." They say that with laughing, but they really truly don't understand the depth of that statement. That it truly means you give up your life for the military, for the government. We're going to talk today about the four truths, the ones that the military recruiters don't want you to know, but you need to know to make an informed decision. And even if you do know and you still choose to go into the military, because we're not an anti-military podcast, at least you understand what you're getting into. So as you're seeing it develop, you're not going to be overwhelmed or despondent about it, because you already realize, okay, this is what happens. And that's better than not knowing and have things come against you that you're thinking is attacking you. But what you don't realize, basically, is that's just how it is. So the first of four truths is the Farish Doctrine. That's one that you have to get in your brain. It's spelled F-E-R-E-S, Farish Doctrine, D-O-C-T-R-I-N-E. Get that in your brain. Drink it, eat it, whatever you do, get it in your brain. Okay? Because what the Farish Doctrine does, it strips you of all your rights. It strips you of everything that you know as a civilian. It strips you of your legal rights. It strips you of your constitutional rights. It strips you. It takes it away. And how does it do that? It takes away your ability to make things right for yourself. It takes away your ability to speak up, to right the corrected injustice. It takes your ability to become the individual, to be the individual you want to be, that you need to be. It's different than if you're a civilian where you have everything. The best way to think about the Farish Doctrine in the military is everything, every right, everything you enjoy about being a civilian no longer exists in the military. Imagine this for a second. A friend of yours was killed in the military. When you find out through the investigation is that the military was involved, they knew about the dangers. They didn't do anything about the dangers. And then when the issue happened, like say they were killed in a barracks fire, right? When it happened, right, they admitted it, but the family of your friend were not able to get justice. They were not able to get compensated. If that happened in civilian life, you would be compensated for your loss. In the military, you won't be. The truth is this. First Lieutenant Rudolph Farish was an officer in the United States Army in the 50s. He was killed in a barracks fire. that the military knew about. They knew the dangers. They knew that the equipment was malfunctioning. They didn't have the right exits. They didn't have the right ability for them to get out of there. So he died. And there's probably some other people who died as well. But his wife, his widow, was looking for compensation. They were looking. She was looking to right an injustice. But the military said no. Okay? The Department of Defense said no. You don't get anything. The Supreme Court finally made the ultimate decision under Ferris versus United States. You can look it up. They said no. Okay? So here we are, a person serving the country was killed by an incident to their service, and they get nothing. Get compensated nothing. They're just like trash. Now, the Ferris Doctrine is a doctrine, it's a way of thinking. It's actually made up of three cases. And each one of the other two cases was similar in that it dealt with a medical situation that, if had happened in the civilian sector, would have been malpractice. They would be able to get tons of money back. They would be able to correct an injustice. But since it happened in the military, they get nothing. And I believe sometimes just knowing that your voice is heard, that you're made compensate, that you were compensated for something that happened to you in a bad way, that somebody else was responsible for, helps the healing process. But when you don't get that, what you do get is you get high incidence of suicides, high incidence of post-traumatic stress disorder, high incidence of abuse, spousal abuse, sexual abuse. You just get a potpourri of garbage that a person has to carry within the rest of their life. So the first truth is the Ferris Doctrine. It takes away your rights to hold the military, to hold the government, to hold anything, anyone associated with the Department of Defense accountable. You get nothing. You can be sexually assaulted, sexually abused, and chances are if it's a lower ranking enlisted person, chances are they may be held accountable. But for the officers, that's definitely not going to be the case. Second truth is this. The U.S. senators and your House of Representatives, your congressional leaders, were the ones who enacted the law, the tort claims law, which basically means that I'm going to be really, just going to be really general with it, that you cannot sue the government. You can't sue the military if something happened to the military that was incident to the military. And since you're in the military, you're 24/7. So how much support do you think they're going to give an enlisted person who's been wronged by the military, by his command, or been injured based on situations that shouldn't have occurred? How much support do you think your congressperson you write to will provide? I'm going to say nothing. They will not give you support. You're on your own. I have firsthand knowledge of this, very firsthand. And with this, I'm going to say is, do not give your congressional leaders any type of, if you bring up a case against your command, or you know someone who is in that your first inclination, your first thought was to write your congressman and they will help you, don't do it. I'm going to tell you that, do not do that. First of all, can you trust a government agency, the Justice Department, who after 7 years in the court system refused to overturn the Ferris Doctrine to handle your situation? No. What's going to happen is that you're going to sign a little agreement that they can look into it for you. The office of your congressional leader, and we're going to get more into this later, okay? It's going to have you send all your documentation, everything. They're going to pour your spirit out to them, pour your soul out to them, who in turn is going to turn that over to your command. Yes, they're going to turn it over to your command. Now you got issues. Remember the Ferris Doctrine now. It's not retaliation. No, it's not. But they don't have to do anything. And since they do not, since your congressional leaders will not let you know the outcome of your complaint, you don't know anything. But you do know the harassment and retaliation. The second truth that recruiters don't want you to know about is that you can't trust your congressional leaders. Know this. The congressional leaders were the ones who paid into law the Tort Claims Act. And they have refused, even though there's tons and tons of reasons to overturn it, they refuse to overturn it. Third truth, your civilian courts, your U.S. Court of Supreme Court, your Court of Appeals, your Superior Courts, all these courts are on the same line. Okay, they're not going to do anything. I'm going to cut this short. I'm going to cut this short. They're not going to do anything. Here's what's going to happen. The lawyer is going to take your complaint. He's going to charge you a whole bunch of money. He's going to run at the poll. And in the end, you get nothing. But everybody else got made money off of your problem. And you won't get anything. If it gets to the Supreme Court, they're going to nix it anyways. So the fourth truth is, you cannot bring in the civilian courts to help you out. So if all this starts sounding like you're being separated and isolated, that's exactly what happens. You're being separated and isolated. The government, the Department of Defense, the military is an entity all its own. And once you're inside that, you lose all contact or communications with the outside world, and you're at their discretion. The officers know that. The congressional leaders know that. The president knows that. Right? Out goes the window. You can buy it into, you can drink the Kool-Aid as far as patriotism. You can drink the Kool-Aid as far as integrity, commitment, spirit of quarter, whatever that be as they talk to you about. But in the end, you're on your own. And in the end, you won't win. Which brings us to the last one, the fourth truth. This is even going to be shorter than the civilian court one. Get this in your mind. Repeat after me. JAG, the Judge Advocate General, is simply a system of mockery of justice. Mockery of justice. Okay? Just say it to yourself. JAG is a mockery of justice. The Uniform Court of Military Justice, which is the laws that's in the military, that does not apply to civilians, but applies to the military, is just a mockery of justice. It's a mockery of justice for three reasons. First one is, what did we talk about? The Fairness Doctrine. Okay, so that's number one. Second one is, what did we talk about? What did I say about this? Your congressional leaders? Okay? And third of all, what did we talk about with the civilian courts? All it comes down to is this. They're not going to do anything. Whether or not the JAG applies the U.S. Uniform Code of Military Justice appropriately, it's playing Russian roulette. It's a crapshoot. It's playing Russian roulette with a pistol that got six rounds in there, and all six rounds got a bullet in it. Okay, and I don't mean to go that way. I know it's harsh, but that's what it is. You know, I don't know what else to say. You got your JAG officers, your defense attorneys, and your prosecutors all in the same office, right? There's a hierarchy of command, right? And then there's a untold truth that they support the command. Okay. Yes, there's a lot of people that go in jail based through the court systems of JAG. It's only because that's what they want. If it goes against a person, if they want to put them away, they will put them away. But if a person is innocent and they're trying to get a defense, they won't get a defense. It's a mockery of justice. I know. I witnessed it. Saw firsthand. You can read the court cases. Based on a lot of court cases, military judges and military lawyers aren't worth it. I would not hire a military attorney. I would not. Yeah, I would not. I wouldn't hire. And if you find yourself in an issue with the military and you decide that you want to hire an attorney to defend yourself at a court martial, defend yourself against the tyranny of the military, and then you think what the best bet is to hire a former JAG officer, that's probably the stupidest thing you can ever do. Because once a JAG officer, always a JAG officer. They know the ropes, they know they're scammy, and they're committed. You're very lucky if you find a JAG officer that's worth anything. And they might be able to do some basic stuff, defensive things, like administrative stuff, but if it's anything that holds a military accountable, you won't get it. Okay, so I said a lot, and a lot of people, they're going to debunk it, they're going to say it's not true, but all you have to do is just Google it. There's a lot of websites out there that talk about the same thing. I think a really good one is counterrecruitment.com is a really good one. Counterrecruitment.com is a really good website. And also our servicemembers.org /Ferris Doctrine. That's also a good one. That's also a good one to go to for more information. But they're all out there, and you can find out for yourself. But these are the four truths the military recruiters do not want you to know. And I'll be covering them more in depth in other podcasts for your to give you more information on. Just keep following along, check back with you, share with other people that you may know about the military, and do your due diligence, whether you are advising somebody about suggesting it, supporting it, or you're thinking about enlisting in it. Have a great day. Bye-bye.